out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 14th of May, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at Radio Arium. You've just got me today. I don't have a co-host, but I do have plenty of news stories to talk about. And the first one, I mean, this just really takes the biscuit. People are probably unaware that today, Monday, the 14th of May, is actually the 70th anniversary of the criminal state of Israel being formed. It was first announced in 1948. And what a surprise! The Jews have won the Eurovision Song Contest. What they're even doing in the Eurovision Song Contest, I don't know, since they are not a part of Europe. It's supposed to be European countries competing. But it's not just because Israel's having their 70th anniversary that a Jew won the contest. She also won the contest because she's a fat Jewish feminist. Probably a leser as well. I was watching the BBC news on Saturday, and every hour they were showing this fat Jewess and interviewing her. And it was quite clear that she was going to win the Eurovision Song Contest because she had every one of the diversity boxes were ticked. She was fat. She was Jewish. She was a feminist. She hated men. In fact, the song was all about man hate. I mean, she could have just farted in a microphone and she would have won. It was so obvious this Jewess was going to win. And the BBC hadn't interviewed any other contestant at all. And just before I actually go into some of what she actually said, on the actual night of Eurovision itself, I don't watch Eurovision, but it came up on the news that there'd been a stage invasion and a wigger had invaded the stage so that he could call the mainstream media Nazis. That's the level that we're at in Britain today. And this Jew won basically with her song about hating men. I've got a report of this, what she said, it just makes it clear that this is the reason why she won. On stage, the Israeli singer said of her win, "Thank you so much for choosing different. Thank you so much for accepting differences between us." She's nothing different. She's fat and ugly. She's nothing different at all. She's absolutely bland. That's why she was chosen. And then she says, "Thank you for celebrating diversity. I love my country." Well, it's nice that she's able to love Israel, but if you're white, you're not allowed to love your country. You're not allowed to love your country at all. You get locked up for that. In fact, later on, we're going to be talking about Jez Turner, who is in court at the moment for loving his country. She later added, "It's an empowerment song for everybody, unless you're a man, of course. For everybody who's been struggling being themselves, struggling with their bosses, with the government, and with someone stepping on them." She says, "I've been told so many times that I'm not pretty enough, that I'm not smart enough, that I'm not skinny enough to do what I want to do." So her response to that is not to go on a diet and slim down and try to make herself attractive. Her response isn't to try and educate herself and become more intelligent or take up sport or exercise. She just decided that she wouldn't bother with any of that. And she knew that she would win by not bothering by doing any of that, because now we reward mediocrity and substandards. We don't want excellence anymore. We just want the lowest common denominator, and we're quite happy to reward that. Everybody must win. We can't have losers and we can't have excellence, so we have to give the awards to people who don't deserve them. And we got reports from Israel. Apparently fans in Tel Aviv went wild after Israel's Netta Barzilai won the Eurovision Song Contest with her song Toy. One of her fans, a fellow musician, was delighted that a plus-sized woman had won. She is voluptuous. She is so beautiful. And she is an example for all the plus-sized ladies all over the world. They can win. We can win, ladies, A.D. Doron said. She's not beautiful. She's pig ugly. I mean, this woman is really ugly and fat and hates men. That's why she won. Nothing to do with her actually being a singer. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu sent a tweet out in Yiddish congratulating her, which Twitter then translated into, Netta, you're a real cow. You have brought much respect for the state of Israel next year in Jerusalem. Well, that's quite correct. She does look like the back end of a cow. Well, let's have a look at these lyrics. These are the lyrics of the Eurovision Song Contest. Apparently, this is perfectly fine to sing a song like this. And bear in mind, this woman is really hideous. These are the lyrics. Look at me, I'm a beautiful creature. I don't care about your modern time preachers. Welcome, boys, too much noise, I will teach you. This Barbie got something to say. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, Mr. Simon says, leave me alone. I'm taking my Pikachu home. You're stupid, just like your smartphone. And was this written by an adult? Sounds like it was written by a 5 or 6 year old. Continuing with the lyrics, Wonder Woman, don't you ever forget, you're divine and he's about to regret. I'm not your toy, you stupid boy. I'll take you down now, I'll make you watch me, dancing with my dolls on the Mother Bucker beat, not your toy. So it's quite fine just to call men, you stupid boy, and insult men. But then, of course, what she really wants is money from men. Continuing with the next verse, she says, don't you go and play with me, boy. Don't you go and play shake. Wedding bells ringing. Money man, bling bling. I don't care about your Steffa baby. And apparently, I mean, this song is also full of chicken noises and people pretending to be chickens. That was the dance routine with it. Apparently, the chicken sound is imitating the voice of a coward, commonly referred to as chickens, who display misogynistic views and treat women similar to a toy. And the backer bit at the end of it, that's Japanese for stupid. So apparently the chicken sound now is supposed to be made at men who display misogynistic views. And this is so politically correct. It's just unbelievable. And don't forget, of course, another recent winner of the Eurovision Song Contest was a man dressed up as a woman with a beard who apparently now has caught AIDS. So that's another good example that we can set before our children. Apparently Israel has participated in the Eurovision Song Contest 41 times since making its debut in 1973. And Israel was able to enter the contest as the Israel Broadcasting Authority is a member organization of the European Broadcasting Union, which is responsible for the event. So simply because they work for the same company, Jews can join in and Jews can pretend to be European and Jews can take the prize from European countries. One in 10 times that Israel has entered the competition, they have won the award. What a surprise. Well, as I mentioned earlier, today Jez Turner is going to find out whether he's going to receive a suspended sentence or he's going to get a prison sentence, or I hope he's going to get let off because he really hasn't done what he's accused of doing. He's accused of stirring up racial hatred. Now, I really would have liked to have talked about this a bit more last week and got people to go along to court on the actual date, but he was given less than 24 hours notice of when the actual date in court was going to be. They told him it was going to be last week. It could be any day from the 8th. And then they said it was going to be any day from the 10th. And then on the Thursday, they let him know that it was going to be on the Friday. And of course, it was too late for me to put it out on the radio. And I think the authorities did that on purpose so that there was less people there in court. But still, there were plenty of people there in court. And he is prepared for if he is going to go to prison. That's why the news reports say that he's of no fixed abode. It's not because he's a tramp. It's because he's prepared himself just in case he's going to go to prison. He looks very, very neat on his way into court. Looks like he's wearing his the old boys school tie, obviously wanting to show the people in the court that he's had a good education. He's proud of his upbringing, and he's holding his head high, which is good. And the news reports have lied about him in one particular bit, as we will see later on. But I've got one news report which is from one of the Israeli news publications. I forget exactly which one, and we'll have a look at that. And then talk a little bit about what they're saying. It says, an army veteran accused of stirring up racial hatred in a speech outside Downing Street has said he wants all Jews to leave England. Under cross-examination at Southwark Crown Court on Friday, the alleged white supremacist revealed why he wanted the nation to return to a merry England in the last millennium, mentioned in the speech. Prosecutor Louis Mabley QC asked what was merry about England between the reign of Edward I and Oliver Cromwell. There were no Jews, replied Bedford Turner, who served 12 years in the British Army. I would very much like them to leave England. And I think that's such a classic answer from Jez there. And he's just being honest. Why would you want to have these people in your country? What good have they brought us? They brought us usury. They brought us degeneracy. They got us to go to war against Germany. They've taken over our government. There's something like 40 MPs that are Jewish, and they only make up less than 1% of the population. So good on Jez for speaking the truth and speaking the truth in court. Among the claims in his speech were that Jews were responsible for both world wars, the Kratrins, and Jack the Ripper. Well, now this is nonsense to say that the Jews were responsible for the Kray twins. The Kray twins were Jewish. That's what Jez has said. So they're deliberately misrepresenting what he has said in his speech to try to make what he says sound ridiculous, as if he's just blaming the Jews for everything. When the Kray twins were Jewish, there is evidence to show that Jack the Ripper was Jewish. And we know the Jewish role in both world wars. We know the Balfour Declaration, we know that the Jews promised Britain that if Britain gave Rothschild Palestine, that they would bring in America into the war and Britain would win the war. So that's why Jews were responsible for World War One. It was about to end, and then the Jews brought the Americans in and it became a world war. And the reason for that is because they wanted Palestine. Of course, the Second World War, again, we know that the Jews were responsible for it. Adolf Hitler had his economic miracle. He got everybody back to work, and the Jews declared war upon him. And this was reported in the Daily Express at the time, the headline right on the front of the newspaper. Judea, or Jews declare war on Germany, or Judea declares war on Germany. So they were the first ones to declare war, and it was their lobbying of Winston Churchill to get him to go to war against Germany. And the same with the encouragement in America. And of course, you know, myself and Dennis Wise on Truth Will Out Radio, we've done a lot of programs covering this, particularly the Versailles Treaty at the end of the First World War, when every country that went or had a representative at the Versailles Peace Conference was represented by a Jew. Every single one of them had a Jewish advisor. So it didn't matter what country was saying what at the conference, it was always going to be what the Jews wanted. So these countries may have thought that they were working for their own independent interests, but each one of them was being advised by a Jew. It was a Jewish conference. And the result of the Versailles Peace Conference was to set up the conditions that were required for a Second World War. So the Jews are, you know, they you cannot take them out from what happened during both these wars. So they were responsible for both world wars. If we didn't have Jews in Britain, then we never would have gone to war the second time, and we probably never would have gone to war the first time, because even the first time was all about commerce and trade, and it was about the Jews not wanting Germany to compete against Britain in world trade. That's what it was about. Continuing with this article, claiming the media was controlled by Jews who cover up bad publicity for the race, he cited in court the notorious 19th century serial killer Jack the Ripper as an example. Mr. Mabley QC asked, "Are you saying, Mr. Bedford Turner, that you, Mr. Bedford Turner, have cracked the greatest mystery in the annals of British crime and identified Jack the Ripper?" Bedford Turner, who was an army linguist speaking Pashtun and Arabic, said there was DNA evidence that the killer was a Polish Jew. Judge David Tomlinson took him to task on this, saying artist Walter Sickert had also been identified as the serial killer based on supposed genetic material by writer Patricia Cornwell, who was talking, quote, absolute nonsense. Bedford Turner said he was not aware of similar evidence against a fellow Englishman, conceding, "I am not an encyclopedia." So the way this is being presented is that Jez Turner was wrong in this, because there's also other evidence that shows that Jack the Ripper may not have been a Jew. But in actual fact, what Jez said is correct. What Jez was claiming is that the media is controlled by Jews who cover up bad publicity for the race. So he then cites in court the fact that there is DNA evidence to show that it was a Polish Jew, was Jack the Ripper. But nobody else in court has ever heard of this. I mean, the guy that's representing the Crown says, "Are you saying you've cracked the greatest mystery in the annals of British crime?" So obviously he's never heard that Jack the Ripper has been identified as a Polish Jew. So what Jez is saying is proved right. Whether or not there's somebody else that has also been identified as the serial killer, that doesn't matter. The fact is, there is evidence to show that he was a Polish Jew, and that has quite clearly been covered up. If it hadn't been covered up, then they would be aware of that in the court. The jury was also shown a recording found on YouTube of the 15-minute speech. Now, this speech concern, which Jez is at court for, is his anti-Shomrim speech, which is a fake police group. It's a Jewish organization that dress up as police. They look exactly the same as police. They have the powers to arrest people, and they are a parallel police force that are just there to look out for the Jews, basically. Why can't we have a parallel police force that looks out for white people outside the schools in areas like Rotherham, Rochdale, Telford, and places like that? You know, they ban nationalists from going there, let alone allowing us to have our own white police force looking out for these women. But the Jews, apparently, they need to have their own special police force looking out for anti-Semitism, of course. But what they say here in the news report, they say this 15-minute speech, which took place in Whitehall, it was a rally against Jewish neighbourhood watch group Shomrim on July the 4th, 2015. So apparently the Shomrim are just a Jewish neighbourhood watch group. Does that mean that we can have neighbourhood watch groups that dress up as police? Of course it doesn't. What they're trying to do here is prevent people from finding this out. I mean, most people are completely unaware that there are this parallel police force. Bedford Turner told the crowd, "Let's free England from Jewish control. Let's liberate this land. Listen, soldiers, listen to me. It's time to liberate our country." Now, they've been portraying this as if Jez was speaking to his own personal army, and that's who he was referring to by soldiers. And they're trying to claim that this was inciting racial hatred. He's got some secret army out there in Britain that is just waiting for the word from Jez, which presumably they were expecting to see on YouTube. And then they were going to rise up and gas 6 million kikes. And that's what's being presented here. And what he's really saying there is, listen, soldiers, listen to me. Listen, anybody in the army you know, you need to be liberating our country, not fighting overseas in Afghanistan or in Iraq or in Syria. You know, our own country is being invaded. Our country needs to be liberated. You need to be defending our borders, not other countries' borders. That's what he's saying there. He doesn't have his own private army. I mean, that's just an absolutely ridiculous idea. And he's not encouraging violence against Jews there either. Jews have their own country in Israel. You could just say to them, it's time. You've caused so much harm to us in this country that you need to leave. I mean, really, they should. The ones that are particularly or have been particularly dangerous to us, the ones that have changed the laws to ban free speech with the Race Relations Act, the ones that have advocated to allow more immigrants into the country, the ones that have advocated to allow refugees in, particularly child refugees, and the ones like that, they should be taken to court. And the ones that have crashed our bank system, they should be taken to court. The ones that have lied about us in the newspapers, they should be taken to court. And they should be made to pay for their crimes. I mean, the Germans, they paid these people pensions. They said, you cannot be politicians anymore. We just want Germans to be the politicians in Germany, but we will still pay you pensions. I mean, the Jews were paid off in Germany. We could do the same here. We could pay these people off. And all it would is they put it across as if it's some ludicrous idea. And it's not a ludicrous idea. It's the way that our country used to be run. If you look back in history, you look back to when Constantine the Great took over the Roman Empire and made Christianity the religion of the empire. The first thing he did was ban Jews from holding public office and ban Jews from engaging in banking and ban Jews from marrying Christians. So all it would mean doing is going back to our original Christian law. And this was the law of the whole of Christendom, was that Jews were not allowed to hold public office. And that was only changed in the 19th century when they lobbied the government to change the actual oaths that our politicians have to take so that Jews could join, because the oath was to uphold the Christian law. And of course, Jews don't want to uphold Christian law, and they certainly don't want us to uphold Christian law either. So they were unable to take the oath of office. So they changed the oath of office. So in Britain now, MPs no longer have to uphold the Christian law. So it's not as if this is something that's absolutely crazy, some wild idea. This is just the way that things used to be. And ever since Jews have been allowed into our government, that's when all the problems started. That's when we have World War One. That's when we have World War Two. Look at their involvement in the French Revolution. And what was the first thing the French Revolution did? It emancipated the Jew and gave the Jew the same civil rights as the citizens. Before then, Jews had to live in a part of the area that was called the Pale. They had to keep separate from Christians because it was known that they would corrupt them. They would entice them to drink alcohol, sleep with prostitutes, borrow money that they couldn't afford to pay back in the hopes that the Jews would then be able to repossess the farmers' land, which is how come Jews ended up owning so much farmland. They certainly never farmed on it. They just used the land as collateral. In Germany, again, citing Germany, before World War II, the Jews owned so much farmland, it was part of the 25 points of the National Socialists that the farmland had to be given back to these farming families. Had to be taken back from the Jews, and they were paid for it. It's not like it was just taken off them and they lost their money. They were remunerated for it. And this is just the way that the Jews behave. And it was the same in Russia. And that's where the actual phrase comes from, beyond the pale. So when you see something that is, you know, absolutely beyond comprehension that it's allowed to go on, such as gay marriage or pedophilia or teaching children sodomy, you say, well, that's beyond the pale. because it belongs away from Christendom. It belongs in the Jewish settlement, in the Jewish ghetto, which is where it all originates from. So that's why he's saying we need to liberate our country. We need to liberate our country from Jewish values, which are now masquerading as British values. We're being told that it's British values to allow Muslims the same, and Jews the same rights as Christians. That's not British values. That's not British values at all. We used to have proper Christian values, which, as I say, meant Jews were kept separate. And they can't complain that we were nasty to them because we allowed them in our countries in the first place. We said, yes, it's fine. Yes, you can stay in our countries, but you just have to be separate from us. We'll even allow you to have your own separate laws, but we're not going to allow you to engage in usury with our people, and we're not going to allow you to degrade our people. But yes, you can live in our countries if you need to. And you couldn't really ask for Europeans to be nicer than that to Jews. And yet we're just accused of being horrible to them now. And Joe Turner has been accused of whipping up violence against them. Continuing with the article, Adrian Davies for the defence told jurors Bedford Turner should be able to express his opinions, even if they find them intolerable. And he pointed out that no police surrounding the rally chose to stop his speech. Can you suppose that large numbers of metropolitan police officers would just stand there and allow a man to whip up violence against the Jews stood in Whitehall opposite 10 Downing Street, he said. And of course not. You know, the thing is, Jez is the one who was at risk of violence. He was one man stood there with a megaphone. I believe there were about two or three others that were at this demonstration, and there were about 1,000 Jews screaming for his blood with a line of police between them. If Jez was the victim of this, he was the one that was at risk of violence. Certainly not the Jews. All the Jews were at risk of is hearing a few home truths, which is what he did. He was just speaking the truth. And of course, the truth is now hate speech if it's anything that the Jews don't like. And also, the Crown Prosecution Service decided that his speech was quite legal, and there were no victims of it. How can there be victims of a speech? But Gideon Falter, who is the head of the campaign against anti-Semitism, he screeched and wailed and claimed that he was a victim and that he had victims' rights. And the police said to him, no, you don't have any victims' rights, Mr. Falter, I'm afraid. A crime hasn't taken place. So Gideon Falter got together with his lobby group, got together with his funding, and pressurised the government and pressurised the Crown Prosecution Service. I mean, he even boasts of talking to Theresa May. He boasts of talking to Amber Rudd. And he pressurised the Crown Prosecution Service into taking this case on, even though the Crown Prosecution Service has said that there's no case to answer for. And this organisation, the Campaign Against Anti-Semitism, they're supposed to be a charity. They're supposed to be helping people. And yet all they do is go after people that criticise Israel mainly, or point out crimes that Jews have been involved in. So they're not a charity. They don't help people. They're a political organisation which is just trying to shut down all criticism of this particular ethnic minority. So that's the report. That's what's been going on so far. We will find out later on today what the results of this trial is. And I guess we'll probably discuss it on Wednesday rather than tomorrow when we have Edmund Morrison on. It'll be good to get his views on it. And also we'll also be going into more of the history of British nationalism with Edmund Morrison has been involved in nationalism for 50 years. But also today is the final summing up of the Alison Chapelow trial. There will be the final legal arguments will have been heard this morning, the closing submissions, and she should finally hear a result, whether she's been found guilty or not, whether she needs to appeal. And this has dragged on for 2 years. And so much stress is caused by this. They do it deliberately. It's like when they put people on bail conditions and then they keep them on bail for for years and years, and it just means you've got to put your life on hold. You can't move anywhere. You can't leave the country. You can't make plans because you don't know what's going to be going on. I mean, Jez has had to leave his home. He's had to pack everything up and leave where he's been living and claim that he's, you know, without fixed abode, just in case he goes to prison. Otherwise, you get found guilty. They take you off to prison and your landlord's got nobody to pay the rent on your place, and you'd lose all your possessions. So all sorts of upheaval is caused in people's lives by these trials, by these political persecutions. And just before I finish on the same subject, I'll just remind people that we do have an organisation now. It's called The Link, and it's a prisoner advocacy group, prisoner welfare group for our political prisoners. And we have a list of political prisoners. We've got some in Britain, some in Austria, some in America, and you can find that on the Radio Aryan site. It actually looks like a Christmas card, and it says write to our prisoners of war. And if you click that image, it will take you to the page, and then you've got a list of all these political prisoners. So please do write to them. And there's also a post office account being set up for donations. And we've got people that are going to go and visit them in prison. They're going to make sure that people write to them. And it's all being organized by Michael Woodbridge, who did an Aryan Insights with us a while back. You can check that out. But as soon as, I think we're probably also going to have a separate blog for that as well, a separate website that people can click on to find out more details. But if you do want to do anything to help our political prisoners, then please do write to them and send them stamps. And that's where you will find a list of all these addresses on the radioaryan.com site, where it says, please write to our prisoners of war. Okay, well, that's it for today then. As I say, we will have the news tomorrow on both of these trials. Thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Nat Danelaw. God bless and hail victory.